Welcome to the Fan Experience Experience with Darren and Mark and a special guest.
Welcome to another episode of Season 2 of the Fan Experience Experience with me, Mark Bradley, and Darren Young. Darren, how are you today?
Yes, not too bad, thank you.
Yeah, well, normally the pair of us arrange to have a coughing fit or a postman knocking at the door, telephone ringing, or in my case today, the council actually laying a new road outside of the house just to give us some extra background noise for our producer Juan to deal with. Today we're delighted we've got Natalia from the Moldova FA and we've got Veiko from the Estonian FA. And the subject of our talk today is the UEFA Grow Programme. I wouldn't know Veiko, I wouldn't know Natalia, they wouldn't be good friends had it not been for the opportunity to work together. The aim of the discussion today is, as is the case in this second season of the podcast, to consider the post-COVID era for football. What has football learnt in the previous 3 or 4 years, and particularly in our work, that will help it not just restore attendances after COVID, but hopefully grow further? So in a word, it's about engagement. And our two guests, first of all, Veiko. Veiko, nice to meet you. How are you?
Hi, Mark. Nice to hear you again. I'm fine, thanks.
No, it's good. It's good to have you here with us. And our second guest, Natalia, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Natalia, how do we pronounce your surname so that we get it right?
Donets.
Donets. Thank you very much. Is that any connection to Shakhtar?
Well, actually, no. It's older than Shakhtar.
Yeah, well, clearly you're not older than Shakhtar. You're still in the full of youth, but there you go. When our listeners hear this episode, they'll realize that yet again, our guests who come from different countries in Europe both speak English better than Darren and I do, which is, you know, obviously very useful. But let's just kick off with a question from me, which is, starting with you, Natalia, what did you see as the biggest challenges when it came to attendances in Moldovan football prior to the project?
Well, even though football obviously is the most popular sport in Moldova, even when it comes to, you know, television audiences watching football games from other countries, the biggest problem is that sport in general and football in particular isn't, you know, high quality enough for the local fans. A lot of them think it's not interesting enough. The clubs aren't offering anything special during match days. And, you know, football has lost its sparkle.
That's really useful. That's very interesting. Veiko, particular context of Estonian football, what were some of the challenges that you were facing?
We're talking now before the COVID.
Yes,
understand?
Well, before the project.
Before the project.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a long time ago already.
It was, yeah.
But, yeah, true. So, actually, for us, we were going a bit up and down, especially talking about the attendance in league games and Estonian club games. And we were growing, but not with the pace we were looking for. And the main concerns were that there was missing link between the clubs and the community. On historical base, our clubs are quite young. The oldest club is 31 years old. And we don't have some of the generations that, for example, English clubs have, or Irish clubs, or et cetera, where like generations and generations have been going to the stadiums. And the connection was missing between the people who are living around the club and the club. And if you cannot play, you cannot like change what happens on a field and how the teams play, but you can change everything else and you can start to create this connection. And we were looking on different ways how to change it. And thanks for the help with UEFA, we started this project, but has been an amazing journey for us.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I haven't been as involved in the project as you, Mark, and it's just been fascinating to sort of see how, from the pictures I saw right at the very start, how fans really bought into coming to games. And I just wanted to sort of, from the beginning, Veiko, just ask, how did you go from those issues to what were the first things that you had to do as an FA to start thinking we need to get more fans in and this is what we'll do first?
Before we started the project and actually there is quite a lot of like work what was done before it even was launched. I think we worked together with Mark and Alex Maeve to looking over all the different data numbers, speaking with clubs and what they are feeling. Why is this and why is that like this? Why are people not coming and looking different surveys? But yeah, we started around there and we did some like from the FS side, more marketing, and we saw some rise, but we see that the communities need to be around the clubs and the people need to like bond with the clubs and they need to be like, they need to feel that this is their club. Like, doesn't matter if it wins or loses, this is my club and I will stay with the club, like long-term fan, or what's the term correctly. So we started there and looking more towards how we can do it. And with different conversations, it came up the Community Development Officers project, that this is the perfect tool for us at the moment to start connecting the club and the people, and this is their job.
Yeah, it's an interesting role, this Community Development Officer, this CDO. It had its roots in Ireland around 2008 when current friend from UEFA, Noel Mooney, was working at the League of Ireland and was looking for a way of sustainably increasing attendances. And some of the work that he did with effectively part-time club promotions officers, they were called at the time. But what it was doing was, at a tactical level, it was getting work done around engaging communities and getting more people to come to games. But I think at a strategic level, it was symbolic that the game was actually looking at this for the first time. So what I remember from our early days in Estonia, Veiko, was this idea of actually saying, look, let's have a plan. Let's make it clear that we're going to try and do something about attendances and to try and transform perceptions of the game in Estonia. And for our listeners' benefit, there are three elements to this. There is the community engagement part, which is physically about going into schools and community organizations and making connections everywhere in the locality. And of course, the fan experience itself, you know, making it capable of attracting and engaging a much more diverse group of people. But I think the key element was in the club's identities themselves, in recognizing that if a football club operates simply at the level of being a football club, then it finds it very difficult to differentiate. What about a identity that transcends that, that actually means something to the locality, perhaps exploring the DNA of a club and starting to see that as not just something that plays football, but something that actually stands for something that represents the community. I mean, Natalia, from your perspective, we have three clubs that we've been working with for a far shorter time, effectively, less than a year. But those clubs' identities are coming through. I mean, could you tell us a little bit about the identity of the three clubs that we've got there? And maybe give us a couple of examples of how those clubs have worked on their identities and done something different with it.
Okay, so we're speaking, at the moment, we are speaking about three clubs. One of them is Sheriff, which has been the champion of Moldovan League for God knows how many years. They are the strongest club in the country, which is based in a small region called Transnistria. For those who are not familiar with Moldovan history, it's basically a breakaway province and the only Russian-speaking province that has, you know, a full self-administration. And that's why this club not only has had a very, you know, powerful image with all the victories, lots of legionnaires, money, obviously, but they have been communicating exclusively in Russian and have been, say, quite closed up in terms of the communication and engagement with community. Then the second club that we've had is Petrikub from city of Hinchest, which is not too far from the Moldovan capital. They are a very young club with a strong image of a contender for major titles. They're strong, in sense of the game. And finally, we've had Kodro, which is a club from a very small village, who the club that has been in the losing games throughout the whole of the last season. And in fact, most of the people from the same village were reluctant to support the club because, you know, they were saying that why should we go as far as supporting a loser, basically. And if we are speaking about identity, for instance, when we started working on the project, we had Petrokub, who is a club that has a very strong community presence. We had Ivan, who was working at the club as the CDO, who began organizing lots of events, engaging, say, children from local villages and going to art schools, visiting local homes for the elderly people. So we're speaking about the growth of the presence of these three clubs in the local communities. That's obviously the beginning to for any club that would like to showcase their identity within this local society. And obviously, Sheriff has been getting much more engagement with the fans since they began working on this project. And then, aside from that, we also have Kodru, who has opened up its very own football stadium back in October. And since then, they have been having full house attendance. So obviously, we're seeing very good changes in terms of what the clubs stood for at the beginning of the year and where they got to as the result of the work that we have done over the course of this season.
Darren chips in, I know, with another question. I think it's worth remarking that with Kodru, and Kodru in an agricultural part of the country, where, you know, for example, if games are scheduled during harvest, for example, that does make a big impact on attendance. The fact that even with COVID restrictions, they've achieved something like 40% of the whole of last season's attendance in only six games, you know, it's quite remarkable, Darren.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, given some of those immediate results, what makes a really great CDO? And that's probably a question for both of you, because obviously you've both got experience in that.
Go on, Veiko, you go first.
The desire to change the world, but actually, great CDO, the first, you need to have courage to do the things. Go out, open the door, and you don't know what faces you behind the door. You need to have the courage, and this is the primary skill. Everything else is learnable. Desire to do and courage and willingness to stick your neck out, get maybe hurt, stick your neck out again, and try again, maybe fall down. It is definitely very difficult because you're changing the culture. So you're changing how the club or people thought about the club or how club operates or how the match day was organized, and you want to bring in the change. And this is always needs energy. It needs resilience. So, yeah.
It's really interesting because while you're talking, Veiko, I can picture our three original pilot CDOs. We had Katrin from FC Flora,
yep.
We had Heiko from Tamaka, and we had our good friend Alex Dimitriev from Narva. And your analogy of you know, opening the door and walking through, I would see it like you and me pushing the three of them through a door and having no idea what's at the other side. You know, is it falling off a cliff? And how they've responded, you know, it has been quite remarkable. And, you know, we've got people like Arto Sar, who worked at Paide, Lina Miskon, who've actually transformed performances on the pitch, but done even more off the pitch. And he's really worked hard on the identity of the club. He's looked back at the heritage of the city and an ancient group of knights who defended the city against German invaders, you know, centuries ago. And he's brought that forward in a way that kids can identify with it. We obviously have a lot of work in places like Parno the kind of the summer city in Estonia, where Karen, who's gone in there, this is Karen, a newer CDO, who had no experience of football, and had to deal with the club being relegated almost as soon as she joined the club, and in as yet has created, I think it's an all-time record Estonian league attendance at one game while being a second division club. And then I guess I'd summarize by saying the one thing, I mean, Natalia, I think I've mentioned this to you as well, Natalia, it's one of the phrase that sums it up for the CDOs, you know, you have to basically be a self-starter. But I think Alex summed it up best where he said, it's easier to apologize than it is to ask for permission. And that's kind of
being, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about your boys, Natalia? What have you seen? What's been their learning curve so far? And pick out a couple of things that have made you proud.
I obviously am very proud of the work that Ivan has done at Petrokub. He has been essentially the most productive CDO in terms of engaging the community. But, you know, as Veiko was saying, you have to be very, you have to have the courage to approach people, to, you know, to change the ideas if you have to. To talk with people with you know, you can talk with a child, you can talk with the teacher, you have to have an approach towards the parents. And I'm really glad to see that Petrokub has been doing this absolutely perfectly. And you know, one of the key elements that I should add is that Moldova is essentially a very diverse country. We have a lot of minorities, for instance. We have Ukrainians, Russians, Gagauz people, and a lot of them speak in Russian. So essentially, it's not only about, you know, being able to communicate with everyone. It's also about being able to engage all these different communities that are living together in these cities. I'm also obviously very proud of how our sheriff said CDO has been handling the situation that he has been in. Obviously,
it's worth mentioning, Natalia, that your three CDOs have not been able to physically meet.
Yes, indeed.
During the project, and Stas as well. You just about to describe how difficult it has been for him.
Unfortunately, since I just mentioned Transnistria, basically this region has been entirely sealed off since spring. And even when it comes to Sheriff playing their games on the, let's call it mainland Moldova, they even had to write requests to the local authorities for to receive the permit to exit the region. That's why, unfortunately, yes, it has been very difficult for Stas to work at the club, especially since they had major restrictions that weren't active in the entire country. For instance, he never received the possibility to visit any schools, unlike, for instance, Petrokub. He couldn't organize events in the streets throughout almost the entire project. But still, he has been very active in trying to promote idea, push forward something interesting, something that would engage the fans and make Sheriff more approachable, because that's exactly the problem that the club has. They have their life, the football life, and the life of the local community as very split. You don't have they are very you know, long situated on a distance from the local people in the same city. And I know, obviously, Stas has been struggling with a lot of issues that went against him. But, you know, he has the spirit to succeed. And I'm very proud of him in this sense. And obviously, we got the success story of Kodru, where, you know, Mihai has managed to turn around the image of a club that has been a loser and basically has been losing most of the games this season as well. But you have people coming over, you have the kids that are beginning to support the club, even though the results aren't much better than we had last year. So it has been you know, a very tough journey for our CDOs, but they have been handling it very, very well.
It's really interesting that the there's a on the day we're recording this, there's actually a survey come out about the attitudes that fans have got in England, and one of the really interesting sort of side things that's come out of that survey was that it suggests that the younger fans are going to be the ones that really care about the clubs going forward. And it just it's interesting that, you know, there's been such a focus from both of you on younger fans and that next generation, which is obviously so clearly important. But what I was just going to ask, Vaiko, was from your perspective, some of the highlights and some of the things that you've been really proud of in the Estonian project.
There are quite a lot of them, actually. First of all, proud of all the CDOs and all the hard work they have been put into. And I was just, when Natalia was talking about, and Mark, you remember this, when we started the pilot in Narva, I think we 3 or 4 times more attendance in with half a year coming in. And it was amazing change what was possible to do when you get the right people behind the wheel and pushing it. But like Mark mentioned, Pärnu Vaprus, you know, for in 2 years, amazing shift. Now they were just promoted to the top division. They won the second division, but yeah, this year they are holding the highest attendance number in a league game in Estonia, being a second division club. That's a great story. But
I think one of the points that's really important to make is that, you know, we know that 95% of teams don't win, you know, and quite a lot of teams keep losing. And I think what projects have shown, I mean, Codru, as Natalia's mentioned, you know, we're known for losing, the kind of the Sunderland of Moldova, you know, and equally teams like with Narva, when Alex first arrived.
This was my point.
Yeah, 6 consecutive games and changed the manager. And yet attendances went from under 100 to 4, 5, 6, 7, and on one case, 800 plus. So Natalia, as we kind of look forward to the post-COVID era, and you know, at perhaps March, April next year, when we can get the fans back and we can start playing football with normality approaching fast, what are the key things that you've learned that you're going to be taking forward and you're going to be, you know, continuing to coach the team on of CDOs?
You know, one of the biggest challenges for us was to help the guys develop the clubs digitally, since obviously when the project began, we were focusing primarily on engaging the community in a physical sense. We hoped that they would be able to visit schools or organize events and etc. And, you know, we've seen the power of the digital growth that we've had over the course of the project. And now that we are going to have 2 more clubs joining in, hopefully this digital work that we will be continuing to do will help us bring the clubs more sustainability, in the sense that comparing to other countries, we are very much underdeveloped in a digital sense. And a lot of young people are currently using, they're all constantly on Facebook, on Instagram as well. And, you know, this lack of communication with the representatives of the younger generation has been, you know, a difficulty thus far. And important to focus our work on working with the younger fans.
Yeah, brilliant.
What about yourself, Baker? I understand that in Estonia there's been 1,000 fans allowed into games.
No, it has been dropping now as... we were a second wave for the virus started in September. So now it's at the moment bound to maximum of 500. We are finishing the season, hopefully, end of this week, Sunday, as we are having the last games. Actually, some of the teams are already finished the league season. Yeah.
So on that then, have you noticed any difference in the way that fans have behaved or the way that fans have acted in between the two waves and in light of what's of all the restrictions that clubs have had to put in place?
Yeah, no, this year has been a very tough journey for everyone and for all the people, all the clubs, because there was so much uncertainty when spring everything was locked down. And in the summer, we had actually a really great summer, like the summer before, almost everything was possible to do. Now we are back to being a bit tied up, and this is understandable to stop the virus.
Gotcha.
The fans, of course, it also, their behavior is very affected from the virus. But what Natalia mentioned, is digital definitely is the one of the ways how to communicate and bring the community together. And this will be the next headlines for us as well, has been already, and next months. And we are at the moment just preparing and looking through the surveys now. We are launching next week the league survey for all the attendance, what we do annually. Yeah. It's great to see some feedback, and clubs are doing their own surveys and how to use this best possible way. So the community work actually during this time is, I think, is really, really important to keep the positive wave up for the people, because the situation is difficult, but if we stick together, we work together, it's possible to go through this, and hopefully the better times are coming ahead for everyone living in this planet at the moment.
Well, that's a perfect way to to bring this this latest episode to a close, Veikko. I mean, we do have the light is getting stronger. The day that we're recording this podcast was the 2nd of December, when it was announced that the vaccine, at least in the UK, is now being approved for use. So we do have some positive times ahead. And, I want to take my hat off and just, thank from the bottom of my heart the work that both you, Natalia, and you, Veikko, have done in these past few years. The psychological heights are also matched by the psychological depths, especially when you go through a phase like this. But I think, overall, when we think about it, what you've both proven is something that people in football never thought was possible, that there is a third way, beyond winning to grow crowds or discounting to grow crowds, neither of which is sustainable. What you two have done and proven with some remarkable results is that it is actually possible to find a third way, and that is of using engagement. So I think on behalf of Darren and Juan, myself, I'd like to wish you both well. I wish you both a happy Christmas. Please pass on our congratulations to your wonderful CDOs. And then perhaps physically we can get together in 2021 and celebrate what we've done. So, Natalia, thanks again. Take care. Good luck. What are you doing next today?
Oh, I'm working on financial reports and player transfers.
Veikko, what have you got around the corner?
actually, at the moment, lining up a different, preparing the email for the CDOs. We had yesterday had a workshop, online workshop, from, let's say, strategic communication, about this, and we're looking different different angles, and now it will be follow up, putting this email together and working with the team. That's on my table is finishing the season this week and giving the cup to the 2020 champion Flora in Sunday, and this needs all, everything needs to be prepared. But I wanted to thank you, Mark, you especially, and Taryn and Juan, and Mark, you for being in the project and helping a lot Estonian clubs to rise the new heights. It has been amazing to work with you, and also a very good meeting with Taryn in where we were last year in
Slovakia.
Yeah, Darren. So Darren, do you want to close the podcast with a few words?
Yeah, as someone who's just, I've heard so much about the project, obviously, as it's gone on, and I think it's just, as you say, it just shows just what can be achieved. And, we talk a lot about having the right people, and we tell this to clubs and leagues all the time, that if you have the right people, then anything's possible. And I think this project proved, or certainly both projects proved that more than anything.
Well, listen, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in again to our podcast. You've been listening to Natalia Donets from the Moldova FA, from Veikko Su from Estonia, the achievements of the UEFA Grow CDO program. Can't go without thanking Oleks Kucheriavi for his his incredible support over the months. And thanks again to Juan and Darren and everybody that's helped us put this on. So we'll see you next time on the Fan Experience podcast.
And don't forget to check out our new website at fanexperienceco.com. The Fan Experience was recorded live. See you next time.